Hello and welcome to the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it. And what we're going to get into today is the issue of cherry picking and spoon feeding on the January 6th committee. Now, I understand that some people may think I'm talking too much about the January 6th committee. But the fact is, if you look at any news reporting, it's absolutely dominating news reporting. Now, you might say, well, all the polls show voters don't really care about it. It's not connecting among the voters. That's apparently true for the moment. But it is important to see what the committee is saying, to understand what the committee is saying, and to understand what the committee is doing. So that's why I'm spending perhaps more time than you'd want on the January 6th committee. And now I want to talk about the cherry picking and spoon feeding issue. Now, maybe I should start with a question. Is James Goldston, the showrunner of the January 6th committee, is he the most important force on the committee? It really appears that might be the case. He's the former president of ABC News, British originally, worked for the BBC, and he is no doubt shaping the committee's presentations episode by episode. And the shows that he is crafting are a dramatic, in every sense of the word, a dramatic departure from actual congressional hearings. And actual congressional hearings are hearings in which members of both parties debate the evidence. They question witnesses. They argue with each other. They reveal facts the other side might not want revealed. Those are things that happen in actual congressional hearings that are not happening on the January 6th committee. Look at the much-discussed hearing with Cassidy Hutchinson, the former White House top Trump White House aide. She was the top aide to Mark Meadows, the White House chief of staff. During that hearing, just two members of the committee, the chairman, Benny Thompson, and the vice chair, Liz Cheney, just two of them spoke at all. The other seven members of the committee sat there silent the entire time, did not say a word. They had no lines in James Goldston's script. It's too bad because this was the episode that Slate called the breakout show of the summer. Big hit, at least in Slate world. Now, so far, each script from James Goldston has featured a few selected sound bites from witnesses' videotaped interviews. They have witnesses in, they videotape the interviews, they select a couple of sound bites from that, they play it while the witness is sitting there, and then they discuss what was said. And these are little snippets, clips, sound bites, not the whole interview. Not the transcript of the whole interview, just a few snippets chosen by the showrunner to illustrate the episode's theme. So, if the January 6th committee were a traditional congressional investigation, the opposition party members would protest. They would have seen the interviews themselves. They would know the content of the interviews, and they would raise questions from the transcript that the majority might not want to highlight, because that's what takes place in actual congressional hearings. Not so on the January 6th committee. Call it the cherry-picking committee. Now, what is odd here is that there is not loud, widespread protest from the reporters who cover the hearing. Journalists generally do not like being fed short, pre-selected bits of information by newsmakers who then keep most of what they know a secret. We're just going to give you just a little bit here. Journalists just don't like that. It goes against the journalistic instinct, which is to try to find out what happened. And yet with the January 6th committee, there has been extensive coverage, extensive discussion, and not much complaining about what the committee is concealing, which we don't really know. Just look at the Hutchinson matter. Former top House White House aide, former top aide to Mark Meadows. She sat down for not one, not two, but three interviews with the committee before, in a fourth session, she offered up the story that Donald Trump, then the President of the United States, physically attacked his own Secret Service detail in an armored SUV on January 6th in an effort to force the Secret Service to drive him to the Capitol. Now, what did Hutchinson say in those first committee interviews, which are all videotaped and transcribed? So interview one, interview two, interview three. What did she say in those? And why did she wait until the fourth interview before relating the SUV allegation? Now, normally congressional committees do not like it when witnesses withhold information, especially in multiple appearances. time after time after time, they didn't say what they knew. But the January 6th committee has offered no information about the circumstances of Hutchinson's testimony. It used a few clips in her appearance in which she appeared in different clothing, so it was apparently taken from her earlier appearances, but we don't know. Even that is not clear. In any event, it provided no transcripts, no full videos, no nothing beyond the bits chosen by the producers. Okay. The same with the committee's interviews of the two White House staffers who were involved in Hutchinson's story. Tony Ornato, then the deputy White House chief of staff, and Robert Engel, head of Trump's Secret Service detail. Now, we learned through outside reporting, that the committee had interviewed them, but the committee never mentioned that simple fact during the Hutchinson testimony. Why did it not do that? Well, it might have been because at the time the committee did its interview, or interviews, we don't really know, with Ornato and Engel, Cassidy Hutchinson had not yet offered the SUV story, so the committee did not know to ask Ornato and Engel about it. So then you might ask, if you were sensible about all this, you might say, well, why not bring Ornato and Engel back and ask them about Hutchinson's new story? Well, apparently the committee was in too big of a hurry to do that. They worried that this blockbuster story, and that's what they thought it was, this blockbuster story would leak and it would drain the drama. It would detract from the next episode. So they called a surprise hearing and they rushed the SUV story into the public conversation without checking other witnesses. And also there was at least one more person involved, the driver of the SUV. Remember, Cassidy Hutchinson said that Trump had lunged for the steering wheel, the driver of the SUV. Still not clear whether the committee has spoken to him. We don't know. If it has, it hasn't said a word about it. If it has not, there's one more source it did not check before going public with Hutchinson. So anyway, after Hutchinson told her story, apparently in the fourth interview, they clearly should have gone to the driver. So we just don't know. The committee has been extremely sensitive about all sorts of aspects of this matter. For example, there's speculation about whether Ornato has been interviewed under oath, and a lot of supporters of the January 6th committee suggested that Ornato had to be placed under oath, because otherwise he might falsely deny this story in an effort to defend Trump. So the question was, well, you know, his earlier interviews, were they under oath? Committee wouldn't say. One of the members of the committee, Zoe Lofgren, was on NBC, and Chuck Todd had to drag it out of her that yes, Ornato had spoken under oath, and give Chuck Todd credit. He had to ask this question multiple times. She didn't want to answer. She evaded. She just avoided. And then he finally kept pressing, and she said, yeah, I believe it was under oath. But it took a lot of effort just to get that out of her. Now, even as Lofgren conceded that yes, there was under oath testimony from Tony Ornato, her colleagues, other members on the committee, sought to slander Tony Ornato to damage his reputation in case, in a new interview that he contradicted the star, Cassidy Hutchinson. Now, there were some former Trump staffers, who tweeted incidents in which they said that Tony Ornato had not been truthful with them. Okay, so that's what they said. Now, after they said that, either in TV interviews or on Twitter, Adam Kinzinger, one of the Republicans, the two Republicans on the January 6th committee, tweeted, quote, there seems to be a major thread here. Tony Ornato likes to lie. Wow, that's kind of amazing. How's that for impeaching a witness before he answers a single question? So, the committee is cherry-picking information, spoon-feeding it to the public and to the press. Meanwhile, the full extent of the information it has gathered is a secret. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that next.
Hey guys, we know it's hard to keep up with all the news these days, but don't worry, because we're here to talk about all the things. Biden's health is visibly getting worse. People are still ignoring it. There was another mass shooting, and more 2024 possible candidates are coming out, but we are not impressed. Hey, it's the Chicks here from the Chicks on the Right podcast. Download and subscribe to our daily podcast to hear us pick apart and pick on the news of the day. Politics to pop culture, nobody's safe, but it's all fun. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like true crime, celebrities, or conspiracies, this story is for you. Remember where you were at mentally and emotionally during the pandemic? Now imagine you're being hacked, stalked, and manipulated by someone or something so powerful that it becomes a federal case. That's what happened to me. The Final War Podcast. Out now on all available platforms.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, I said I was going to talk more about the January 6th committee secrecy, and I do want to do that. Before I do it, I wanted to say, if you've been listening to the podcast, enjoying the podcast, maybe even learning from the podcast, it would be really great if you could subscribe to the podcast. You can do it iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast. Would really, really, really appreciate it. Thanks very much. So, committee cherry-picking information, spoon-feeding it to the public and the press. Meanwhile, the full extent of what it has gathered is a secret. Even when a witness is introduced and testifies in public, the committee's practice is to guide the witness over a few topics by playing snippets of the witness's earlier videotape testimony. The witness then comments on his own testimony. The subject matter is carefully controlled, and even after the witness appears, the committee does not release video or transcripts of the witness's full testimony. It is all a secret, except for the few snippets that the committee wants the public to see. Go back a few years, not that many years, during the first Trump impeachment, late 2019, House Democrats, some of the same ones involved in this committee, they threw the rules and practices out the window in conducting the impeachment. They conducted secret depositions. They threatened Republicans with discipline if they leaked as much as a word about it. Of course, we should say some Republicans were allowed to take part in the depositions. After much criticism, when there were public hearings, the impeachment chief, Adam Schiff, who is also a member of today's January 6th committee, relented finally and allowed the release of transcripts of witness depositions. They had been secret, but once these witnesses came out in public and testified, Schiff released the transcripts of their deposition interviews. Okay. Not doing it now. When a witness appears before the January 6th committee, has appeared before them in a deposition or an interview, videotaped, transcribed, the committee doesn't release the deposition, doesn't release the transcript. Just not doing it. Now, you will point out the January 6th committee does have two Republicans on it, the aforementioned Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. But they appear to be in complete and total lockstep with committee Democrats. No member of the committee of either party, either Republican or Democrat, has had the courage or the independence of mind to publicly question how the committee is conducting its business. And perhaps just as importantly, few members of the press have spoken up to question how the committee is conducting its business. And as I said, members of the press do not normally like to be spoon-fed little pre-selected bits of information by newsmakers who tell them that's all they need to know. That just conflicts with the basic journalistic impulse of trying to find out what happened. You see something, why did it happen? What happened? Who took part in it? What did they say? The way the January 6th committee is operating is just in total conflict with the basic journalistic impulse of wanting to discover the story. So it's astonishing that few members of the press have spoken up to question the committee's procedures. But I have to say, the way things have gone so far, that certainly seems unlikely to change. The January 6th committee has paid no price in public criticism for its secretiveness, and that seems unlikely to change anytime soon. So that's what I had to say today about the January 6th committee. All the objections you might have that I discussed at the top of the podcast, they're true. The public is not really entranced with this, but it has so much attention in the press that it's certainly not going to go away. And it's something you need to know about. Maybe it doesn't have to be the thing you think about 24 hours a day, but it's something you need to know about it. So, glad you could listen. Always appreciate it when you can listen. And hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of The Byron York Show.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In an attempt to divide America and Israel, leftists have spread hateful falsehoods about Israel and its right to self-defense. You deserve the truth. Hey, y'all. It's Sarah from The Sarah Carter Show. Israel has missiles flying over its head, yet the radical left is calling them racist, evil, and every other smear imaginable. It's disgusting. And on this week's Sarah Carter Show, we expose them for what they are: anti-Semitic lies about our Jewish brothers and sisters. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show on your favorite podcast app.